Hi, this is Bob, and today I have an interview with Vincent Crowley. Vincent Crowley has released Anthology of Horror. This one will take you on a cinematic journey you'll go to again and again. And here is my interview with Vincent Crowley. Hello, my friend.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. I wanted to thank you for taking time to speak with me today.
Not a problem, man.
I wanted to ask about the creative process for Anthology of Horror. How long did it take to put the material together?
Well, the release of the first, the debut album, Beyond Asheron, that was released in 2021. And at that point, we added a second guitarist named Eric Stewart and a bassist named Tim Wilson. And things went pretty fast. We had a lot of ideas already. Art Taylor and I write along the main structures of the songs, and the other guys come in and add their layering up to it. So we had the actual music done long before we even started recording it.
And I wanted to ask you about this track, Madame Laveau, Voodoo Queen. It's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Yeah, that was inspired by the tales of Marie Laveau, that was the known voodoo queen in Louisiana. The whole concepts of all the stories on the album are, you know, horror-based, and even though that's a true story, influenced that horror genre, you know, out there today.
And I also wanted to ask if you could speak on That Which Lurks Beneath Below the Sea. It's another one of my favorite tracks.
Yeah, that song, it was a story I created using the Cthulhu mythos that H.P. Lovecraft started. And it was just working off kind of like the story of the Call of Cthulhu and making a little tale about a ship and a crew that goes out in search of the great beast. And when they find him, things don't go in their favor.
And the album artwork, that's Amityville House. I wanted to ask, who's responsible for the artwork on the album?
It's a German artist, a friend of mine named Timo Juarez. I've worked with him actually for over a decade now. He did the first Vincent Crowley album cover, Beyond Asheron, and he also did artwork for my past band, Asheron, for the 2000 releases of those albums. So we've been pretty good friends and working together for a long time now.
And what's the next step for the band? What can your fans look for next?
We're looking to, you know, start doing shows and making more appearances. That's our first agenda right now. I personally want to start, you know, dabbling into writing new stuff. I already have several new songs I've written, and, you know, definitely want to start working on the next record.
And you're from Ohio, is that correct?
Yeah, I live in Columbus, Ohio.
I wanted to ask you if you could speak on your musical development. At what age did you begin?
I actually didn't pick up a guitar till I was 16. I had friends that played music. My father and my grandfather were musicians. They played guitar. My grandfather played piano, keyboards. When I was younger, I was more into sports than music. But then when I started to get into music, I had some friends that played guitar and bass, and a friend of mine that played guitar started to give me some lessons when I was 16, and it just caught on, and I really wanted to do something. And when the new form of music that was coming out back then was out, I definitely wanted to be a part of that scene.
And I also want to ask you, how is the scene there in the Columbus area?
There's some meddlers here, but the scene isn't really that great in Columbus. A lot of shows pass us up. They usually go to either Cleveland or Cincinnati. It's weird because, you know, Columbus is the capital of Ohio. It's a pretty big city, and shows here are kind of hit and miss. So a lot of bands end up playing out of town.
I know one of the clubs there has been there for a long time. The Newport, I believe.
Yeah, I think they have new ownership. I haven't been there since they've changed things up, but yeah, they're still around. The El Rosa Villa, that the venue that Dimebag Darrell got shot and killed at, that got closed down and tore down. There's some other clubs here. It's, like I said, just getting some good bands to come through here is kind of hard.
Yeah, the last time I was there was, I believe, 2-3 years ago to see The Hue there at the Newport.
Oh, okay.
And that's been a minute. The scene in Akron and Cleveland is growing. For a while during the COVID thing, everyone had struggles, you know, and a lot of clubs were just, you know, fading out. Now they're starting to resurge back up, so it's getting better up here.
Yeah, I really hope that that's going to be the case here. You know, COVID did shut down a lot of things and cause some problems. So hopefully everybody gets back on their feet.
I wanted to ask you, along your musical journey, what has been the best advice that has been given to you along the way?
Well, luckily, growing up, when I was in high school, I got to meet a lot of musicians, and they kind of set me straight with the truth about music. It's not like you play in a band, you get signed, you put out an album, and life is great, and you never have to deal with financial problems. And they pretty much said it's a struggle, it's a commitment you have to have, and you got to deal with the ups and downs. And everything they told me was true. It's something I love to do. It's not something that you can rely on as in financially, but it's definitely for those who are really committed to do it and accept what's dealt to them.
And I wanted to also ask you, when you're not working on music, do you have any other hobbies that you enjoy in your spare time?
Yeah, like I actually have a YouTube channel I do, the Vincent Crowley YouTube channel, and I kind of correspond with the fans and answer questions and post videos and stuff. That's been pretty a busy part of my life lately. My wife and I like to kind of travel when we can. We like to visit, you know, different horror or haunted areas and stuff like that. So, you know, things like that nature.
And what's the best way to get merchandise and a physical copy of the album?
Well, depending where you are, in the United States, probably the cheapest route to go is to go through Amazon or Napalm's Records USA. If you're in Europe, Hammerheart Records carries it along with, there's a lot of different stores that carry the album online, but those are the main ones, you know, if you want to go to them. As for t-shirts and stuff, people actually can contact me at CrowleyMusic@hotmail.com, and I'll send them a list of stuff I have.
I also wanted to ask you, you spoke a little bit about having new material in your pocket. I wanted to ask you, is it in the same vein as this album?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to make the next album even a little more grim and dark. It's definitely going to be a a compendium of dark stories, just like Anthology of Horror was. So I just want to attack it a little bit different, give it a different, you know, personality than this one. But all in all, we're not going to, you know, change super drastically or anything.
I wanted to ask you as well, if you could take me back in time and tell me how the band became a reality, how did you guys get together?
Well, I was in a band called Asheron that was a black death metal band for, you know, 30 years. When that band came to an end, myself and guitarist Art Taylor, who was also in the band, we continued writing together. And it was actually a lot was during the COVID time. And we really wanted to record the songs we did. So we just kind of went in the studio and recorded that album. And when we were looking for a name, I was going to do some touring under my name to play songs from bands I used to be in, just, you know, for fun. And we just thought, since the transition from Asheron to this new band, we'd kind of take a little advice from King Diamond, as in how he went from Merciful Fate to the King Diamond band, and just use my name. And that's pretty much how everything started. And when we started shopping around the material, we actually got a bite, and, you know, Odium Records picked up the album, put it out in Europe, and then Hellhammer Records put it out in the States. So everything kind of snowballed after that, and what really went well after that.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you could give a message to your fans, what would that message be?
I think the best thing, if you support the band, you know, make sure you go out there and buy those physical copies of the, you know, CD, the vinyl, even the downloads. It's important to do this stuff so we can go back into the studio and the label wants to bring us back to do another album. I think a lot of people nowadays like to illegally download stuff, and that doesn't help the band. And if they really want to, you know, help, that's the way to do it.
Sure, because the days of the $1 million contracts are over. Basically, record deals are basically loans anymore.
That's exactly what they are. It's a business. You're paying for your studio time, basically, and recouping that money from your sales. So, you know, you spend thousands of dollars in the studio, you're in debt until that is paid off. So I don't think a lot of people understand that.
No, I think especially the generation I was in, you know, that grew up, was, you know, children of the 80s. They remember the big deals, the big contracts and everything, and think that music is that way today, and it's totally a different game than what it used to be.
Yeah, and, you know, back in those times too, you had to find the bands you really liked. You had to go to the record store, you know, physically go to the record store and take a gamble on maybe an album that has a cool album cover. And, you know, nowadays you have millions of bands out there you can listen to, and you really have to fight in this battle to get your band name out there these days, because there's so much music accessible to people today, unlike the old days where it was like tape trading and, you know, just word of mouth to get bands known.
Sure. I remember as a child going to Kent, Ohio, because they had all the import albums, you know, so when the early English invasion came, you know, they had this stuff. They had Hellstar, they had them bands. And, you know, now it's basically a trip down the rabbit hole of YouTube or whatever you use to see what pops up next.
Yeah, because back in those days, you had the mom and pop, you know, stores that, you know, your local metal shop or your local rock and metal stuff, and or even the mainstream ones, they had their, you know, import section and stuff you could, like, that was rare. And it was a lot more exciting back then because it was new discoveries and you really had to take a gamble on what you picked up. I mean, I think that's why I've always thought album covers were very important, because that's 90% of the reason I bought most of my albums back in the day.
Sure. Well, I wanted to thank you, my friend, for taking time to speak with me. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, thanks for having me as a guest, brother.
And please feel free to update me with any new news as it comes about, especially any dates for shows. I'd love to get them out there for you.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, my friend. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'd like to thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can sponsor the podcast. Just click that button and you can be a member of the family. And remember, come see me for a fix.